And, you know, I'm just super honored to be here with y'all tonight. And today I had the honor of sitting with this great man of God, Greg. And I'm just always in awe. You may be seated. I'm always in awe of, I feel like this generation's missing honor. And it's really sad to me because honor is connected to your destiny. And as I sat there today at lunch and listened to this big old burly tall man, I don't know, man, if I ever get married again, I'm going to find it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's so tall. I'm like, it's cool. You're tall and stuff. But I was listening to you get all sappy and talking about Dr. Morris Cirillo and the honor that you showed him and still continue to show him. And I heard the Lord when I was sitting there, and I believe we're going to start this night off right. There's some things that you are doing right now in your lives that you do not want to be doing. You're working a job you do not want to be at. You're in a relationship that God is going to restore, but it ain't there yet. You're in a season that you hate. But I came all the way to San Diego to sit at lunch with Greg, this amazing man of God that I honor so much, to hear him say that out of Bible school, he calls this place and says, I want to come work for you. They put him in the accounting department. He said, there was nothing in me that wanted to do accounting. He's carrying a cross all over San Diego. I don't know what you're talking about. We crazy. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, we quirky. You quirky. You pulling a cross. You know what I'm saying? 10-foot cross. The news comes and gets him, takes a video of him, because they're as shocked as probably everybody else. And Dr. Morris Cirillo saw it and called you in and said, I want you to go to London. What am I saying to you tonight? You're in a season that God is putting you in a position to where he's about to take you to another level. And listen to me, this is not just for a shout and a praise. This is God. God is strategically setting you up. In this room, if you didn't come for any other reason but for me to tell you that the place you're at, which is the middle, that middle is a stepping ground to where God wants to take you. He can't take it. See, whenever we get in God's way, this is a problem with our culture, our society, is that we go to college and we plan a map of our future. And the enemy is already laughing when we're doing this because he knows, number one, y'all would not be in this place if y'all ain't got a huge destiny and call on your life. You're not going to come sit in a church on a Friday night and beat the traffic to get here if you weren't ready to go to another level. But what the enemy has done to some of you is he's gotten you in this place of your decisions. You're feeling like you're being loyal to your mistakes. And God is saying, no, it's a stepping stone, and Greg is leading the pack. He didn't even know that 1 ounce of obedience was going to do more for him than all the prayer in the world. And Dr. Morris Cirillo trusted this man of God, and he had to get to a place where he would surrender in the place that he hated. This is not my destiny. This is not my plan. This, I want to preach. But what happens whenever you're in a place where God is getting you prepared for that next level and you can't go to the next level until you get prepared here? And that's where some of you are. And the enemy's trying to wear you out He's trying to make you so tired that you can't even pray. That now we're getting so caught up in our cultures of church and organizations and children's ministry and big screens. I got all of it. I love it all. Y'all can tell I'm very flashy. I like flash. That's just who I am. I made this coat. Okay. But God is saying to you in this season, if I can't even trust you to hold it together when you can't feel me. Because you can't feel me when I'm grooming you for that next level most times, because the teacher is always silent during the test. But God is saying to you tonight, I need you back. I need you back. I'm calling you back. Your degrees are great. Your school is great. Sitting on for the last 3 years, if y'all ain't grown in this pandemic, it's your own fault. You could have went to every online college on the planet. But some of y'all, instead of growing, you got stuck. And now you're mad at the world. Sitting on the couch eating bonbons, scratching your behind, being mad at God because he ain't moving. That is right where the enemy wants you to be. Because your destiny is connected to a thing in you that's a destiny snatcher. You are a hell shaker. You are a nation shifter. You are a generational curse breaker. You are a world changer. What's on the inside of you? I don't care if you're 85, 75, 45. God is saying, I don't have numbers in my numerical system. So what was meant to defeat you was really just a setup. That divorce was a setup. That bad doctor's report was a setup. That rejection, that church hurt, was a setup. They didn't see how good you were, it was a setup. They didn't support you after they said they would, it was a setup. Because God is saying, I'm pulling you back like a slingshot. And when I get you back to just a certain place, I'm gonna let you fly. And when I let you fly, I'm the kind of God, I don't just give you back time. I give you back time in the years you got left. Because I'm the kind of God that in Joel 2:25, it said, I'm gonna give you back everything the devil has stolen. And I don't want it back. I want restitution back. I want seven times greater. I want my sleep back. I want my money back. I want my sanity back. I want my heart back. I want my peace back. I want my joy back. I want my name back. I want my confidence back. I need you to look at your neighbor and say, stop sitting there. What you waiting on? What you waiting on? What you waiting on? You've been there too long. What you waiting on? You've been talking about it too long. What you waiting on? You serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What you waiting on? What you waiting on? What you waiting on? What you waiting on? That dream's still there. As long as you got a pulse, God's got a plan. What you waiting on? They wrote you off. God wrote you on. They had to walk out of your life. Their character couldn't keep up with your purpose. They had to leave you. They had to reject you. They had to talk about you. See, God uses people walking out of your life in twofold. Onefold, he has to get them out of your life because their character can't go where you're going. See, people can ride with you a certain level. But so there's this thing called rocket boosters. These rocket boosters are supposed to hang on just a certain altitude, and then they fall off. Some of y'all letting the rocket booster stay on a lot longer than they're supposed to in people. So God's using them to get you to a certain altitude. And when you get to that certain altitude, they're designed to fall off so that you can pivot. But then God also uses the nasty ones. The ones you told your secrets to. The ones that drove you home when you were too drunk. The ones that listened to you when you cried yourself to sleep at night. Then they turn their back on you and they slander you. And God said, yeah, I need them to slander you, because as they're slandering you, they're free publicity. Because while they're talking about you, other people are coming to look for you. And then all of a sudden, you got this free publicity. And you've got thousands and thousands of people that when they come to look for you, they feel the anointing of God on you that you got in the breaking. In the breaking. See, our problem as people is we want them to get it back. We want you to hurt as bad as you hurt me. And then we get stuck on stupid. We get stuck on stalking them on social media, right? We all been there. You know you've been there too. I want you to hurt as bad as you hurt me. And God said, no, I need them to watch you. So I got to keep them healthy. I got to keep them strong. Because I'm going to give them a seat as I elevate you to another level. See, they got to be aware so they can see where you're going. That's how God turns things in your favor. That's how he turns things. Thank you, guys. They're like, girl, we through with you. Peace out. It's Friday night and the feeling's right. Oh, yes, it's Jesus night. What a night. So thank you so much. And I honor Dr. Moore Cirillo and beautiful Mother Teresa Cirillo. And man, this great campus that when you walk on the property, you feel legacy. See, some of y'all got legacy. Some of y'all lost a lot of people this year, huh? Some of y'all been grieving a minute, right? All the more reason you need to mourn and move. Because you got to carry out a legacy just like they're doing in this place. Well, I ain't no legacy, Kim. I kind of lost it. I lost it, man, when I walked through that trial, and now I'm just a nothing. I'm just like a blob. And God is saying, you're just who I need you to be. I hid you on purpose. I was giving you time to get a breather. Because where I'm taking you, man, I need you to rest. Because as soon as I open the windows of heaven over your life, you ain't going to be able to rest. You better get your sleep. There's some babies being born in here. There's some spiritual babies being born. You men are like, I ain't having no baby. Yes, you are. There's a spiritual baby being born. It's coming. It's coming. I was reading over my paperwork today, and it was talking about how Dr. Moore Cirillo's declaring war on the devil's war school and ministry, which currently has over 90,000 students. How many of y'all are in that? How many of y'all are in that school? Y'all listen to this. 90,000 students registered on full scholarships from 214 nations on full scholarships. Y'all know how they got there, right? You know how you think you ain't being used to God? Every dime that you ever sow into this ministry, you're accounted as saving a soul. So we thank God for this place that we are able to work and sow and help win the world for Jesus. Amen. I want to title my sermon tonight, Declaring War on the Devil. Declaring War on the Devil. It's God's will for you to be prepared. And if you're prepared, you will not be in trouble. It's one of Dr. Cirillo's quotes. I love it. Strategic spiritual warfare prayer. I need somebody in this room to yell out, what you think that means?
You tell me what you think it means.
You tell me whenever I'm up here talking about, because we got a whole week of spiritual warfare, I need to know what you think you're doing. Authority. Overcoming. Casting out devils. Breaking soul ties. Come on, yell it. Let the devil know we back. You punk. Huh? Chain breakers. Yes, y'all giving me Holy Ghost chill bumps. I want to go to war with y'all, man. Strategic warfare means identifying and being intentional and not quitting when we don't see the battle won. Not throwing in the towel. You ever seen those people that can... They just walk around speaking. You ever seen them? Y'all see them? Have you ever seen them when they walk through something and they fall apart? You can pray all night long for people, but the minute something doesn't go your way, you fall apart? Huh? They are not strategic warfare prayers, warriors. They like the title, but they don't like the guts that it takes. See, I'm here to stir up some fire in your belly tonight because we got to get back our stamina. We got a world that's dying and going to hell, and you're the only Bible they'll ever read. Falling apart. You're over intercessor groups, but you got hidden demons. Because we have a society, man, where we just walking around quoting scriptures and putting up pretty memes, but our hearts are nasty. We're racist, judgmental. We get on post and debate everybody on the planet. I would never want to go to some people's churches. Because when I was down and out and couldn't help it and walked through a divorce, they were on there saying, God hates divorce. So do I. I'm dying. Give me up. Give me an arm up. And I know that this week, this is about a week of equipping you to literally walk into rooms and feel the atmosphere where you don't even have to open your mouth and let anybody know. You ain't even got a hand on a track. The oil on your life is dripping when you walk into a room. I'm walking into a room and I'm shifting the atmosphere because I made it. So I'm giving you permission tonight to let it all hang out. Get all the devils out of you. Get all the porn demons out of you. Get all the drinking demons out of you. Get all the lying demons out of you. Get all the cussing demons out of you. So that there's nothing holding you from walking in the full covenant of God's anointing. Ooh. Ooh. God's doing something in this room. You walked in one way, but you will walk out another way. Because the truth is, ain't nobody want to stay stuck in nothing. The only reason we ever stay stuck is because we let a religion tell us that God was a mean God. And God got off of the throne and onto the cross and stretched his arms out wide for you and said, it is finished. For everything that hurts you, it's finished. Because he's a good father. Revelations 2:7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There's so many people out in the world that are going around bragging on all they're doing. Look at my ministry. Look at my business. Look at this. Look at that. Hashtag my ministry name instead of make Jesus famous. We have things for the little ones, teens, singles, and the season. We feed the hungry. We clothe the needy, and we take pictures of it while we do it. And we let the very people we're sitting next to die because they're scared of you. Because we won't talk about God loves to use people with the worst past to create the best futures. Let's look at Jonah. He was told to go to Nineveh. He's like, bye, Felicia. Let them die. Let them die. That's some of y'all with y'all's exes. God's like, pray for your ex. You're like, kill them. Kill them with the train. Because you know if a train kills them, Benny Hinn can't bring them back to life with his white coat. But at least you're praying. Doesn't that count? He said, kill them. God said, fish, go follow Jonah. He's going to need transportation back to where I told him to be in the first place. That's how our God rolls. He's the goat. He's the greatest of all times. When he was forming you in your mother's womb, he said, whoa, this was going to give me some trouble. She going to be like the woman at the well. She going to run five of them off before she ever gets herself together. He going to be a whole player. Oh, this one, whoa! They going to come to me about 10 times before they really mean it. Like he knew it. Oh, that one's going to be a bad, bad birdie. But by the time they get it together, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. They going to do more for me in their life. Because they ain't nothing like going to hell and coming out on fire. Wah! Can't nobody tell me nothing. When I gone to hell and I felt like I was dying, 3 o'clock in the morning, some of y'all been there. Feeling like you can't even pick your big old thick thigh up and move. Felt like a turtle stuck in peanut butter. But you made it. See, I oftentimes think we forget that I made it. I'm not where I want to be, but I ain't where I used to be. I made it. What I thought was going to kill me really just took me up. I made it. You wrote me off and thought because the curtain had closed in my life that the production was over, but God was really closing the curtain in order to set up for the next scene. I made it. I need you to look at your neighbor and say, I made it. You made it. So we have this propensity because we're on social media and everybody loves to put out all their highlight reels on social media. Social media will have you stuck. You've been praying for a bound chicken, wow, wow, for 30 years. Where they at? You be scrolling on social media. Everything you want, she got. You be laying in your bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. You ain't got no peace. You just went to church. You just came to this conference for 5 days. You still ain't got no peace. Because you like to control things. You see what I'm saying? You scrolling. Before you know it, you done gone about 48 weeks on her Instagram and your finger accidentally hits the heart. And you're like, ah! Ah! They know you a whole stalker. You are a stalker. And really, in reality, you just look and thinking, God, you hate me. You gave her everything. She got the most beautiful hair. It ain't real. She snatched. Oh, it was sucked out. Did you see her husband? And you're like, man, he looks like he just stepped out of GQ. And mine looks like he just stepped out of DQ. You mad. And you stuck. That's how the enemy gets you in your mind. He makes you start thinking you're too far gone. And then he'll put people in your circle that I was telling you about your past. And I'm giving you permission tonight to take them out of your VIP section. Take them up to that balcony. And you say, I love you, but from up there. Because where I'm going, you keep letting the air out of my tires. I ain't getting no younger. I'm going. I'm going, and I'm going without you. You can't be mad at me for cutting you off with the scissors you handed me. Chop, chop. I'm going to pray for you. So we're so busy telling about what we got on social media and learning how to do reels and filters. We all look like angels are flying around us when we're on live. But it's really the baby doll filter flickering. And we're so busy trying to perfect our lives for people that can't even get us into heaven. We care more what you think about us than what God knows about us. So if he knew us before he ever formed us in our mother's womb, then he already knew what we were going to do. So why are you stuck on something he already saved you from? Why are you still trying to give CPR to a dead situation? Why are you still living in a season, allowing the season to define your lifetime? Because nothing you left is greater than what's coming. Why? How do I know that? Exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to bless you and not harm you, give you a future and a hope. What God is saying to us here, just like what he was saying to the church of Ephesus, Christ said, I know your works. You got 15 titles. You got more degrees than a thermometer. And you're still miserable. I know your works. You have labored and not fainted. But I have somewhat ought against thee because thou hast left thy first. You got mad at him when he didn't fix that relationship. You got mad at him when you didn't get that raise. You got mad at him when he didn't fix that cancer in your loved one's life. So you left your first love, but we still know how to act like we know church. Well, I receive it. You ain't receiving nothing. We saw you at the light. He's saying, you were doing all these things, but the most important thing you should be involved with, you have left undone. Spending time with me, him. Well, I don't know what to say. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Boom, boom. Turn you on some worship singing. Pray the songs until you encourage yourself in the Lord. See, you can be involved in all the religious activity you want. But if you leave Christ out, it's all for nada. Because he's our source. He's our strength. He's got to be the beginning of everything that we do, including that relationship, that job, that investment. I believe that is exactly what God is calling us this week to do. I believe that God is calling us to rekindle the fire of God for real. Like when you lay in your hotel room, instead of watching 90 Day Fiancé, you're like, you get back on your knees. You don't lay in your bed no more. I'm so tired because I stayed up all night interceding. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Well, how do you know, Kim? Your attitude. It's getting up out of that bed and getting down on your knees and saying, God, you ain't gonna wreck your reputation on me. Because when you created me a voice to change the world. I got in your way a little bit, and I know I did. Sorry, Jesus. Will you forgive me? I repent. Some of y'all need to repent. Some of y'all don't need therapy. You need deliverance from junk you picked up in church. And getting on your knees and saying, God, I ain't leaving until you do something in my life. Wear the carpet out under your knees until you see a breakthrough. We believe more of Dr. Fauci than God. We're trying to build churches and congregations and businesses and families without having the proper foundation, which is Jesus Christ. When a foundation is on shaky ground, you've got to rebuild the foundation before it can be built again. What does that mean? Getting back to the basics. Listen, Jesus told the church of Ephesus, if you want to keep my presence in your church, then you must rekindle the fire. You know what that means? You must repent. Y'all like, girl, I feel like you spanking me tonight. No, I'm just calling you back. Just trying to sit in your knee a little bit. Just sit in your lap and say you're this close to your breakthrough. But because you won't get out of your own head and stop scrolling, getting in everybody's business that you ain't getting paid for. I'm gonna send so many people tax reports at the end of the year. Y'all working for free for me. And get on your knees. Jesus told that church, I need you to repent. Let me let you in on something. Satan is not upset if you're doing religious activities. Satan's not upset if you come to church. Satan's not upset if you are a conference serial goer. And the best partner there is, Satan gets upset when he knows that you are rekindling a fire. Because, baby, you wouldn't be in this building tonight if you didn't have some Holy Ghost mojo on you, inside of you, on top of you, and around you. How do I know that? Because he don't never let me go nowhere unless there's a bunch of people that are going to carry the torch for revival in the next season. That's how I know. Boom, shakalaka-laka, boom. You got this. You got this. Every believer has to start making a move to be intimate with God. And that scares the devil. Do you know the devil will stop messing with you if you stop answering the door? You can't change the devil when you dance with him. He changes you. That's why you got to see, who are you listening to? What are you doing with your spare time? You are no threat to him as long as you are unplugged from the power source. You are no threat to him as long as you are just playing games with God. But start making a move to rekindle the fire and pursue it with all you've got. Get in this school. Learn what your voice carries. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm the head and not the tail. Devil, you should have messed with me before I got back on my feet. Y'all, I didn't get it together. That little lady right there pushed me out of her little 5 foot tall, 99 pound soaking wet self, butt first. Raised me on a church pew. Raised me in United Pentecostal. I didn't watch no one-eyed demon TV till I was late in my life. And the first show I ever watched was Planet of the Apes. Remember it like it was yesterday. Couldn't wear short sleeves because you know these elbows will make every man fall. They so sexy. Couldn't cut my hair because you know that's a glory. And I still ran from God. Went to World Harvest Bible School. Because she thought they'd scare the hell out of me. Like, for real, the hell. Because I was hellion. They're like, you going to go because that Pastor Rod got some stuff on him. He just opens his mouth and we run. The devil's run. I go to World Harvest Bible School and I see a little boy sitting on the front on the piano. And I was like, ooh. Ooh. What's your name? Pastor Rod coming on from Israel said, listen, I see you looking at that boy on that piano. He said, when we get home, you're moving in with Mama Parsley. Because there's an anointing on your life, and I'm going to preserve it. 2 o'clock in the morning when I got home from Israel, I packed my little Yugo, moved to Atlanta, married the boy. I sure did. Everything he said was going to happen, happened. Because I didn't have accountability, because the enemy cannot take me out, so he wears me out through my decisions. Raised in church, sang on the greatest platforms in America. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I didn't want to run over. I didn't feel the fire. I wasn't even saved, I'm sure. My whole life, play church. Played church. Laid in my bed and cried every night. Miserable. Why? Because thieves don't rob empty vaults. The enemy ain't after you or your kids because you weak. He's after you because you strong. And he is so mad that his punk tail got kicked out of heaven. And you the apple of daddy's eyes now. Uh-huh. Finally, at 36 years old, I moved back to Atlanta because my marriage ended. 18-year marriage. Gone. Because sin will take you further than you want to go. Cost you more than you want to pay. And it started with a glass of wine. Everybody does it. And the devil was like, but everybody ain't got what you got on them, so I'm going to make sure I get you good. And at 36 years old, when I moved back in with my mom, I lost everything. And laying in my bed one night, I'm crying out to God, finally. And I said, God, I need you to take this pain away from me. Mimi said she would hear me in my bedroom upstairs with my two sons downstairs that needed a mama raised in church. And I never heard God speak to me because I thought he was going to be like, Kimberly, don't do that, girl. I didn't realize it was because I had to get my heart right so that still small voice could be heard. And I'm laying in that bed, y'all, and I hear the Lord say, Kimberly, I can't take it away. You got to get up and walk away from it. Your answer is one step forward. Revival is already here. You're a revival carrier. That's why you got so much going on right now. When you really get down to business, Satan begins to attack. And if the enemy is attacking, it's because he knows that you are called to be a threat to him, and he's scared to death that you are going to find out how to pray. That you're going to get so free from what people think about you that when you walk into a room, you ain't going to care. You're going to be like, ah! You're going to be, oh, I don't care. Hey, when I walk in a room, I get by the loudest one in the room. I'm like the loudest, craziest one in the room because I know they've been through something. I know that they've been delivered. And I know that they carry an oil. That's why he's picking on you, boo. So tired of the devil deceiving us. Making us think that he doesn't love us. That we're not special and that we're not called. That we don't have anything great about us. But he's powerless. And when you find out who you are, he will look under his bed every night to see if you're under there. I want real quickly to walk you through this. I finally got it at 36. Did I turn around? No. I am so hard-headed. I felt like it was my plot in life to do everything Mimi had never done so that I could relate to the sinners in this world. I felt like I was Coyote Ugly, that I had to drink all I could drink and party all I could party and wipe away my pain and just jump into relationship to fill voids. Never knew ever that God was going to use me the way he's using me today. He makes me go get a job at Bloomingdale's. Six figures. I was an interior designer. I banked. I told people I could make drapes and they believed me. And then I hit rock bottom and found the rock at the bottom, which was Jesus, and I turned into a preacher. I preached my first sermon at 40. Special ed my whole life. I still don't know where commas go. And if you read my statuses, you need to be in the Holy Ghost to interpret, because there's no commas. I just signed a book deal with HarperCollins for six figures. 40 years old, I was at Bloomingdale's making $9 an hour. What's your problem? What are you waiting on? All God wants is a yes, exceedingly abundantly. I want us real quickly to look at fast at how to declare war on the devil. You ready for this? Number one, you got to find out the area the devil is attacking. That means you got to stop, drop, and pray. Stop, drop, and pray. The last chapter, the last part of 2 Corinthians 10:2-11 says that we are not ignorant of his, the devil's, devices. There's always a reason why Satan does what he does. He attacks each of us differently. And it's important that you understand why the devil is attacking you the way he is. You want me to tell you why? Because I'm that auntie. I will answer all your questions. Here's why. The areas of attacks are usually weaknesses in you. They're weaknesses. Any enemy knows you attack your opponent at their weak points because you have a greater chance of breaking through and getting a victory. If we can identify the weaknesses in us, then we can ask for forgiveness and repent. And poof, it's gone. You ain't got to give no Hail Marys. You ain't got to rub no Buddha belly. And you ain't got to feed nobody chocolate chip cookies. Poof. Because God's got spiritual amnesia. Why? Because he knows your name. He knows your name. He just needs you to get rid of it. Let me explain. If the enemy is attacking you in such a way to make you worry, then you need to confess that you are a worry wart to God. Well, he already knows it. But you still got to say it. Lazy. He a whole genie in a bottle. No, say it. God, I'm a worry wart. And I need you to get me free from this. And you need to repent. When we constantly operate in the arena of fear and worry, then that's a warning sign that we haven't taken time really to get to know Jesus. Oh! I had a lady come in my church. She came in one Sunday. She goes, Pastor Kim, she's one of my prayer warriors. I need you to pray for me. I got cancer. I said, you went to the doctor? Not yet. But Dr. Google said I had cancer. I've got the symptoms. I said, what? I said, I laid my hands on her. I said, in Jesus' name, she is healed. And God, free her of that delivery of worry. The next Sunday, she came in a wheelchair. I said, you got diagnosed. It's bad. You're dying. She said, I haven't gone yet. I just need you to pray for me again. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I am fed up with the main prayer warrior of my church. I have watched this woman lay hands on people and legs grow out. She is sitting in a wheelchair she don't even need to be in. Don't heal her cancer, heal her mind. The next Sunday, she walks in and she is literally not even walking with her feet this time in her wheelchair. Now her husband's pushing her. She said, I just need you to pray. I laid hands on her. I said, Lord, heal her or kill her. I was kidding. She got up out of that chair. She's like, you right, Pastor Kim. You right. Girl, you right. You better get you some friends around you that go thug on you in 2 seconds flat. You better get you some friends that say, you better get your butt up. Come on, you got too much to do, baby. You got an army that's watching you. You can't lay there. You got to walk it. You got to talk it. Repent for your fear. God, forgive me for being a worry wart. God, forgive me for being a nagger. I met a lady in the foyer a while ago. She said, Kim, she said, I love your story because you just helped me with my child. You know, they're pastors. She said, you know, I just keep telling them, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. I said, you need to leave them alone. I said, you need to leave them alone and get on your knees. See, so many times we get in God's way when God is saying, get out of the way and just walk it. Right? Get out of the way and just walk it. If you're constantly being attacked in your health, then you need to look at what you're doing with your temple. If you're addicted to cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, porn, you need to confess. God, I'm sorry. You saw your boy last night. But I'm back. Get free. Humble yourself. Stop eating sugar when you got sugar diabetes. Stop coming up here having us lay hands on you for your sugar diabetes with a ho-ho in your pocket. Hmm.
That was funny. Somebody just sat on their ho-ho. They're like. Number two. You got to ask yourself, how do I react when the enemy attacks? Identify where you're being attacked. My marriage is going to hell in a handbasket. Take Jesse out of the middle of you and your husband. He should be in his own bed anyway. Turn on some Barry White. Hello? Is it me you're looking for? The devil's after my car. He can't drive. You need an oil change. Identify. Next is ask yourself, how are you reacting when he does attack? Because he does. Do you start confessing what the enemy's doing? Do you begin to question God? Do you throw in the towels and say, I quit? We have a lot of times empowered the enemy in our life. The enemy is limited in what he can do. If the devil could destroy you, guess what? Huh? You'd have been dead a long time ago. Can't touch this. The fact is nothing comes your way that God didn't know was coming. And if God knew it was coming my way, then he is going to empower me to stand up against it and fight. You ain't pitiful, boo. You're powerful. You are anointed. The way you respond when the enemy attacks you will determine the outcome. You need to understand that Satan may be powerful, but God is all powerful. The book stops with him. Not your ex, not your mama, not your daddy, not your boss, not the doctor's report. It stops with God. And if it's anything that is negative or chaotic, it is not God. If it is not good in your life, it ain't over. Because with God, it always turns out all right. Don't you realize that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? That the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And nothing comes your way that surprises God. The word declares in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He is faithful. Tell yourself, God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that what you can bear. That promise isn't just for your neighbor. That was good. That promise is for you. Because God is no respecter of persons. And a lot of times we start playing with the attack or temptation. We start looking at it a little bit closer. We start listening to the enemy. We listen to what the word tells us. Instead, we need to listen to what the word tells us to do in James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And what? Huh? What does that mean? I ain't gonna clap back. I ain't got no clap back. That means I ain't gotta say nothing. I will take the high road when you take the low. Oh no, they gonna get these hands. I'm hood and holy. No, greater is he that is in me. I got something in me. I got something in me. There's 7.7 billion people in this world that need me to get them to heaven. I got an assignment to make heaven more crowded. You hear me? Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I call you today
He says, to place me first. God is saying, Jesus over everything. My question to you is he really over everything? Is he really over everything? Because if he is, why are you still stuck? Jesus never called anyone to half-hearted service. Until this happens, and you get on your face, and every single day of your life, you say, God, I'm going all in. I'm about to let your light shine so bright in my life that if you can do it for, real talk, Kim, you can do it for me. 40 years old. I'm in a car. I've been driving 1 hour to work every single day, one way, to make $9 an hour. Doing makeup, and if y'all ever get close to me, usually the reason I have these glasses on is because my eyebrows are not on fleek. They're not sisters. But here's how good God is. He said, girl, you're tore up. And where I want to take you quickly, nobody in your family's ever done it. In fact, there's no women preachers. My mama was a preacher, but not leading the pack. I'm going to need you to be free from people because you got a people-pleasing problem, Kim. I created you to be an Ann Taylor, and you've been trying to be a Betsy. I created you to be a Betsy Johnson. You're over here trying to be Ann Taylor because you care about people. I need that off of you. I'll never forget driving to work and him telling me, I need you to hurry it up. I'm like, well, what does that look like? He said, I need you to lay hands on yourself. I said, oh, dear God, what does that look like? Because all I'm thinking of, he's about to deliver me at my own hands. I'm going to be in the car. Because I knew there was some stuff that needed to come out of me. I was like, can you let me get to work first so I can get a plastic bag? I ran from deliverance for so long because I knew. I just didn't want that. I heard the Lord tell me, deliverance over dignity. If you will surrender yourself now, I ain't gonna make you do none of that. He said, because I'm a God of order and I never hurt my babies. I never hurt my babies. Propensity to pull you up, man, and take you to the front of the line in front of the very people that wrote you off. I'm the God that went to the well, sat with a woman that had been married 5 times. She was the first one I ever told I'm the Messiah. I'm the God that's still called David, a man after my own heart when he had an affair and killed the man. I'm the God that can send Samuel to get a king and the king not even be in the room. That means you ain't even got to be in the room. Let him leave you out. He'll send for you when your heart is right. He's the God that went to the man at the pool of Bethesda that had been laying there for 38 years. 38 years. And he says, you want to be healed? The man was like, what? Of course I want to be healed. He said, get up. And instantly, he was healed. And y'all, it didn't say his legs grew out. That means they were there the whole time. So that leads me to believe it was the people around him that told him, you'll never amount to nothing. And his mind made him feel like, I ain't no better than this pool. And then God had the nerve to say, clean up your room and let's go. He didn't just say, get up. He said, no. We gonna get rid of all the evidence. Pick up your mat. Clean up your room. And let's go. Because I never want you to ever feel comfortable coming back here again. Forty years old. I got so saved in that car. Just me and God. I was going down the road. I had my tongue out my face. Praying for my old mouth. Heal me. Set me free. I'd be going down the road. I was just. Went from depression to starting a revival in Bloomingdale's. I would be laying hands on people in the bathroom stalls. Come out. Practicing. I got so saved that if a mosquito would have bit me, it would have got the Holy Ghost. And the reason I had to get divorced with my big old fat mouth was so that I could go work at Bloomingdale's. Because at Bloomingdale's, I fell in love with y'all. I hated people. Because saints are mean. I was a preacher's kid and saw a lot. And doing makeup, I'd be watching those people. And I'd be thinking, dear God, I don't know how to do her makeup. And God would say, figure it out. So I'd be going, girl, you're so beautiful. Her eyebrow would be up to her hairline. You don't even need makeup. God was so bored the day he was creating you, he made you perfect. I sold lip glosses to everybody. Had the highest sales on the whole business of lip glosses. They'd be like, Kim, we don't know what you're doing, girl, but them sales and them lip glosses, I was like, if you only knew. But one day, this is what shifted me. Was I'd done a makeup on a lady named Eleanor. And she came back in that next Friday. And I said, Eleanor, you can't bring that lip gloss back. I'm making and breaking records. She said, oh, no, girl, I'm not bringing it back. She said, but I got rid of my therapist. I said, oh, dear Lord. She said, and every Friday, I want to come sit in your chair. She said, because whatever you did last Friday, she said, I'd been stuck for 20 years. When my husband walked out, I died. And she said, last week, I got up because of you. And I heard the Lord say, if you wouldn't have walked through the breaking, you would never have the anointing. Because I love to use you at the very place that you thought was going to kill you. We have a box over here full of prayer requests. Some of yours is in here. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prayer requests. Of people that were probably raised in church.
And I believe that God brought you in this room. We're going to lay hands on this box tonight. And while we're praying over other people's needs, chains are going to begin to fall off of you. This is your first graduation into your new calling. This is your new chapter. What have you been waiting on? What have you been afraid to say yes to? Where are the areas in you that God is saying, I need you to come right here? You must know the word of God. There's way too many illiterate believers. They don't know the word for themselves. 2 Timothy says, study to show thyself approved. Then you got to speak the word and live the word. The devil has no recourse when it comes to the word of God. And you need to get the Holy Ghost. You can get to heaven without it, but there ain't nothing like going ninja on the devil. You got a hole when you come to know Jesus. All old things have passed away, and the same power lives inside of you. You got the power to walk in a room and tell somebody, get up out of that wheelchair. But it's even more powerful when you can turn on the ninja. Every devil in hell starts shaking. See, what you don't understand is the day you were born, August the 29th, 1972, I'm going to be 50. The day I came out of my mama, the doctors heard, wah! But hell heard purpose, destiny, a game changer. That is you. And I need everybody in this room up on your feet. And here's what we're about to do. Some of y'all dusty. You should pray the walls down. You used to feel the power when you woke up in the morning. You used to snatch the wigs off the devil. You used to open your mouth and fear nothing. Nothing made you tremble. But somewhere along the line, you lost that. You laid your dream down. Somebody told you you couldn't be saved in a divorce. You couldn't preach and be a lady. Hello. You couldn't be divorced and preach. Hello. I took one for the team. You're welcome. You couldn't have a record and be used of God. That's who He wants to use. And if you ain't never done nothing wrong, I salute you. You my angels. It's you that prayed me through. But here's what I want us to do in this room. I don't want you to walk out of this place. This is a spiritual ninja conference. Dr. Morcerello taught us. I can remember that little finger. That thing would start moving and we'd all sort of. Whoever the voice is in your life is who you become. That's why we have mentors and pastors and preachers and prophets. And there's a voice that all of you listen. You hear a voice and that voice snatches you back. God raises voices. You're somebody's voice. I just heard the Lord say that. You are somebody's voice. You are somebody's voice. You are somebody's voice. Somebody is waiting on you to get into position. Your mama should have taken that generational curse and broken, but she didn't. You gotta do it. The devil's telling you there's another storm coming. You need to stand flat-footed and tell the devil, I am the storm. Bring it on. I need an uproar in this building. I need y'all to worship. I need y'all to worship. Depression is breaking off of this place. Come on, open your mouth. Come on, if you speak in tongues, I need you to lift up your voice. I need you to lift up your voice. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Here's what I want us to do. Say, God, I repent. Give me a new hunger. Give me a hunger, God, that it spills over everywhere I go. Let me be contagious. Let me be contagious. There's miracles in this room. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We're not through. There's something being birthed in you. Marriages are being healed. Chains are being broken. Come on, I need you to push. I know you don't feel like it. Because when you're going through, you don't feel like it. When you're walking through depression, you don't feel like it. When you feel alone, you don't feel like it. When you've been given a bad doctor's report, it's hard to pray when you know you got cancer in your body. But God said you were healed. I pray over your mental state. I bind the spirit of mentally challenging things that keep weighing on you. I bind the spirit of numb off of you. This is where the fire of God is starting, in this room. This is where the Azusa flow is coming out of this room. The day of Pentecost revival is in this room. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Not the religious jargon. The gut, let the gut speak. Come on, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Everybody stretch your hands out. Begin to pray over these prayer requests. Get some of our pastors down here to pray. Come on, lay hands on it. Lay hands on it. Lay hands on it. Come on, pray, saints. Pray, church. Pray, church. God is calling some of you into ministry tonight. God is calling some of you to write a bestseller tonight. God is closing a chapter and opening a new chapter for some of you tonight. Some of y'all gonna be the first millionaires in your family. It starts tonight. Lord, we pray over every prayer request. They are healed. They are healed. I hear the Lord saying, I'm awakening. I'm awakening. Some of y'all been numb, but I'm awakening. What I'm about to do in your life in the next 10 years is going to blow your mind. You better buckle your seatbelt. You've been on the struggle bus. Your money's been funny, but not after tonight. Critical spirit brings forth poverty, but that thing's been broken off of you. Everything that is not of God, eradicate. Decision, make it right. Every generational curse, bring it into fruition. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We call our children home. We call our prodigals home. We call our prodigals home. We call our babies home. We call our families back together. Let your power fall. Let your glory fall. In our homes, Jesus. In our minds, Jesus. In our hearts, Jesus. Open doors nobody can shut. God, I'm a
don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. When I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Oh, and Father.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
And Father, right now we pray. Dr. Morris Cirello Ministries. We pray for this property. We pray for his legacy. That God, we will carry his legacy. And we will bleed for souls the same way he did. And Father, you will send every dime to help us win souls all over the world. In this room, some of y'all walked in this place tonight, you've been needing financial support for what God has been telling you to do. You know God's been telling you to do it, but you've been like, man, I just don't see the financial breakthrough happening. And all over this room, I see pop-up tents, which in the spirit lets me know a lot of pop-up churches and ministries and buildings and entrepreneurs. And you listen to me, Pastor. We're about to see some major revival spewing out of this place, because the revival's already here. You came into this place to get the fire back in you so that you could go back into all the world and preach the gospel. But I want one thing that God is telling me to tell you is that you've got what you need. That you are called, that you are chosen, that you are anointed, and you are the one to carry forth what I need done in this world. I hear the Lord saying that. All I need from you is a yes, and I will take care of everything else in your path. Remember that. You got to look at where the attack started and fix it, because you've already overcome the attack. You're having financial problems, you got to look at where you're giving. You want to be able to be the first millionaire in your family? I remember God told me 2 years ago, I couldn't even buy cheese with my credit at 40. I pastor a whole church and don't take one dime from them. Drove a knockoff Bentley. It looked like it was a 300 Chrysler. They kept me on the side of the road till I was 42. But I had to be in that knockoff Bentley because it kept me on the side of the road, and that side of the road let me do a video that took me viral. The smoke was coming out of my car, and I was like, oh my God, God, you think of everything. You've given me my own smoke machine. I took my phone out and did a video. That thing went viral. They were like, who's that crazy white woman with a mohawk and funky glasses looking like she high on the Holy Ghost? They thought crack, but it was a Holy Ghost. And I remember 2 years ago, my daddy passed away and he left me his church. And we're in the middle of a pandemic and everybody was scared. And I heard the Lord say, Pastor Greg, pay this church off. And I was like, praise the Lord, bring them. Y'all know I got members all the way out in San Diego. Sacramento too. We're going to pay this thing off. Because I teach you how to sow. Because you hang out with me, you should be as blessed as I am. And we get there on New Year's Eve and we still owed $17,000. I was like, tonight, man, we're going to dance on some money. It's about to come in tonight because, God, you said New Year's Eve, it's going to be paid off. He said, yeah, because you're going to write the check. I said, that wasn't for me. Who you want me to tell that to? You want me to give a prophetic word? He said, no, girl, it's to you. He said, you're going to write that check. And I said, but, God, like, I don't even take a check. You know, I was bargaining with him because I'm the queen of bargaining. And he said, write it. And y'all, I wrote that check.
And literally within a week, I was staring at one of the biggest devils in my life. And within 7 days, not only did God move the devil and all his imps, but he also gave me back every dime on top of this. No, also the $280,000 I had to give the devil. It was a season of just having to give, give, give. And I was like, man, I didn't want to give it because I was already out all that other money. And he said, trust me. Within 7 days, every single thing that I had lost, I got back double for my trouble. I started the sermon off tonight with telling you about that man of God that leads this place so beautifully. Being obedient. 1 ounce of obedience will do you more than all the prayer in the world. What has God told you to do that you ain't done? That you need to go back and do. Jump. Go home and jump. Go home and start it. Go home and do it with your knees knocking. Go home and write that book. Go home and be a better spouse. Go home and love your children back into the family of God without running your mouth. This is a perfect time, Pastor, for us to sow. 90,000 people are learning about Jesus because of our giving to God in this ministry. And I even came bearing gifts because I know I like to give when I can get. We're going to give you this Bible that is full of Dr. Morris Sorello's preaching notes. I know what it's like when you first start preaching and you can't get sermons real well. You can steal his. It's going to come out different because your oil's different. His notes in this Bible. Not only that, but we're going to also give you a book. You get this for $100 seed. What? You can't even buy this Bible on Amazon for $100. But I really believe that there's some of you in this room that could do $500. Or maybe you're sitting on $17,000 and you need a tax write-off. This is a great place. I'm also a business pastorpreneur, so I can help you with your finances. Oh, Kurt. So right now, what I want you to do, I want to see how many people in this room, I've never done this in my whole life. In fact, I always never, ever, ever would take up offerings or nothing because I was like, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. And then when I started getting really blessed in my life, God said, you hurting those people because you are the very one that can tell them how to open the windows of heaven over their life. You sow, you get. I preached it tonight. And some of y'all been sitting on that little nest egg because you want to go get that fat sucked out. But God gonna give you supernatural healing and it's just going to... Sow it. Some of y'all ain't never met nobody like me in your life, have you? Like, y'all ready? Y'all get anything out of my word tonight? I sure do love y'all, man. I'm so honored that I got to come back here. I cry every time I think about that God lets me do this all over the world. I even got to go back. I preach at my spiritual dad's church. Talk about restoration. That's what he's going to do in your life. If you do everything I said tonight, and everything my pop said last night, and everything Francis says tomorrow night, we're setting you up for a whole bestseller life.